Welcome to our Aztecs Hoopla podcast. I'm Jay Posner, sports editor of the San Diego Union-Tribune. Talk each week with Union Tribune beat writer Mark Ziegler about the Aztecs basketball team, which continues to be undefeated. I was a little worried, Mark, that we were going to start the podcast last week and then they were going to turn around and lose. And of course, everyone would blame us for something we had no control over. But it didn't happen. And the Aztecs beat New Mexico here. They beat Boise up in Idaho. They're now 26-0, 15-0 in the Mountain West, which I believe has never been done before. So why don't we start with New Mexico last week, and the word came down, I guess, right before tip-off that they had clinched a share of the title. Did the players all know that beforehand, and was there sort of an interest in, well, we don't really want to go out of here clinching with a loss kind of thing, or did Brian Dutcher and the players not know?
Well, they had a pretty good idea that the clinching win was Utah State at Colorado State, and that game was just finishing up as they took the floor, but I believe Utah State had a little bit of a lead, so they had an idea, and a few minutes into the game it became official. I think they had a pretty good idea, but at this point it wasn't like they're down to the last game of the season and are they going to get the title or not. I mean, they pretty much knew they were getting this title, and then they clinched it with four games to go.
Which hasn't been done, which I should say hasn't been done nationally in any conference in 12 years.
Steph Curry and Davidson, yeah.
Right, so that's a pretty good achievement just in itself to note.
Absolutely. But the big question, and what the weird thing about that night was, they had all this big elaborate ceremony planned for after the game to cut down nets and have Craig Thompson, who was in attendance, present the trophy to the team and Brian Dutcher. But they decided they didn't want to do it if they lost the game. Even if they clinched a share of the title and the commissioner was there, they weren't going to cut down nets because they just felt like, when you're 24-0 at that point, you don't back into anything. And they just thought it would be too weird. And I think they were probably right about that, but just it kind of cast a weird pall over it because, it would be just bizarre if they didn't win and clinch the title and Craig Thompson would be kind of like holding this trophy going, what do I do with this?
Well, then they got off to a pretty bad start. I mean, they didn't – I think you had a note that they didn't take the lead till well into the first half, like later than any conference game all season.
Right, and so it started to become a little bit more of a possibility. I think the players kind of knew that it was kind of a carrot at the end of the stick for them. Like, they really wanted to cut down nets. They wanted to have the students, storm the floor and surround them. And they all talked about what an incredible moment that was, just to have the mass of humanity around them. And when they had no idea how many people were actually there until they got up on the ladder and looked out at the sea of people. And so I think that kind of became a little bit of motivation. I don't know if Brian Dutcher talked about it in his halftime speech to get them going. But at the same time, what's weird about this team, and we've talked a little bit about this before, is that there's just this calm. And you talk to fans, and I have one friend, Ed Sudkamp, who's been a season ticket holder, I think, since the beginning of the Fisher era, pretty darn close to it, for 19, 20 years. And he sits kind of up in the corner and about halfway up. And he goes, I've never been this unnervous during games. He goes, I don't get nervous anymore. I just have this feeling this team's going to win. And that's just kind of the way it was against New Mexico. They were, not a very good first half. New Mexico's making shots. They were fired up. And the players said it, and I think the fans just kind of felt it, like, they'll sort this out in the second half and they'll win. And they did.
I think it's kind of interesting. You mentioned the players being excited, wanting to cut down nets and everything. And, I think it's easy for all of us, whether it's media, fans, students, whatever, to get caught up in the fact that this team is undefeated. What gets lost in that is the idea that, it's a big deal to win a conference title. It's not an easy thing to do, in any conference. I mean, this conference certainly has its challenges. I mean, it also has its soft spots, but it has its challenges. And I would hate to think that some of this stuff's going to get lost. Like, if they do lose a game, like if they don't finish 38-0, or they lose a game at some point, that people are just going to sort of forget everything that was achieved. And I think that you mentioned it in one of your stories last week that, you know, I think this is their 12th conference title. And I assume that goes back to the WAC, I think. But this one's different. And you know, this team is different. And especially if they can get through these next three games undefeated and you know, and have this 18-0 regular season. And I do think it's important that for everyone to think, you know, this is a pretty big deal. And I think, I hope everyone's enjoying what they're seeing and just not sort of taking it for granted. I mean, it's one thing to kind of expect the team to win and say, okay, they'll figure it out. But, you know, there's something to enjoy here with a team like this. And as we know, as people who've been sports fans for, you know, basically half a century, these kind of years don't come along, you know, very often. I mean, I'll throw in a plug for the soccer team I follow in terms of Liverpool, and it's the same kind of thing where, you know, you just think, oh, they haven't lost in the Premier League all year, and you think every time they go out, oh, okay, they're going to win. But I think sometimes you have to take a step back and realize what you're watching, you know, that it's a big deal to do what this team's doing.
Yeah, 100%. I am glad you said that, because, you know, one thing that happens to fan bases, and I think it happened to this fan base after they went 34-3, everyone said, well, gosh, this is going to really help recruiting, and we're going to be so good in the future, because, you know, we did this with a bunch of guys like DJ Gay, who was a zero-star recruit, and, you know, and Malcolm Thomas we got as a transfer, and, you know, Billy White no one wanted, and we got him, and, you know, Chase Tapley broke his leg his sophomore year of high school, and nobody wanted him, and we took him, and, you know, now just think of the players we're going to get now. And Brian Dutcher laughed at it all the time. He laughed at it back in 2010-11 when people said that. And he said, how are we going to get better players than we just had? We went 34-3. We had Kawhi Leonard. And the same thing people are starting to say now. Oh, this is going to really help us in the future. Well, how are you going to be any better than 26-0? I mean, how are you going to get better players than Malachi Flynn and Yanni Wetzel? I mean, people need to realize that this is it. I mean, and yeah, you might have some good seasons in the future, but you can't get spoiled. And that's kind of the tendency that people have. And to your point about, you know, and it's something to really think about, it is what happens if this team doesn't win the national championship? Will people be disappointed, or will they kind of give that a pass and look at the bigger picture? Because in college basketball, people don't look at the bigger picture.
Right.
And the way the season is set up, for better or for worse, it's what makes college basketball unique and different than any other sport that we have, college or professional, because of the tournament. But the flaws in that is that you lose sight of things like a conference championship, which in some ways is more difficult to win. I mean, it's a 18-game season. It's six trips into altitude for a C-level team. It's they're traveling without the benefit of a charter, or they have one, maybe two a year. You know, I just went with them to Boise, and they flew commercial and got in at 9 o'clock the night before, didn't have a chance for a practice in the arena or a formal shoot around the next morning, played the game, rushed to the airport, got on a flight that left an hour and 45 minutes after the game ended, flew to Oakland, had an hour layover in Oakland, got on another plane, and many of these guys are cramming in the middle seats because they don't have a boarding passes on Southwest, and then flew home and got home at, you know, at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night on campus. And you know, that's tough to do and be undefeated. And so, what they're doing is special. I hope one thing that they do is, and I'm not sure they will, I might have to break tradition a little bit, but if they end up the regular season 29-0, or they finish the conference tournament 32-0 going into the NCAA tournament, I hope on their banner for the conference championship, they put the record. Mm-hmm. Because I really think that's important to people to understand. Yeah, they won this conference championship, but they went 32-0 or 29-0, and they went 18-0 in the Mountain West, which has never been done.
Right, right. No, those are good points. And again, I mean, this could all be moot. They could go 38-0, but I mean, look, history tells us that that's probably not going to happen. Now, when and where that loss is going to come, you know, we have no way of knowing. And when and where that loss comes could have an effect on how some people look back at this season. I mean, you think about the Virginia team a couple of years ago that, you know, had a fantastic season, was a one seed, gets beat by a 16. I mean, they're going to look at that season differently than a season where, you know, if they had gone to the final, like if they had lost in the Final Four last year, that probably still would have been considered a success. But anyway, you mentioned the Boise game. I want to get back to that real quick. I mean, that was a game that on paper at least looked like, okay, here's a chance. that they could lose a game. There was a lot against them. You mentioned a couple things. Boise had only lost once at home all season, I believe. I think the point spread was the smallest one the Aztecs had in the conference so far this season. And then they go out and they smoke Boise, basically. I mean, I think Boise made one run or whatever, and game got a little close. But for the most part, I mean, the Aztecs dominated the game. The final was, 72-55, I think. Boise shot under 40% until the very end of the game. Aztecs had 11 steals. They didn't turn the ball over. Was that one of their better performances? I mean, they've obviously had a lot of good performances. Was that one of their better ones?
Yeah, I mean, I thought their best half of the season was the first game against Boise when they were up 23 at the half. Mm-hmm. And this one, this game might have been one of their most complete games just because of the atmosphere and the stakes. And how they played. I mean, it was really impressive to me, and I wrote about this in my three thoughts yesterday, or in today's paper. They changed their defensive philosophy, which is something that, most coaches wouldn't dream or dare do, particularly if you beat a team the first time and it worked to a certain extent. You just don't change things, and they did. And it was impressive, and their coach talked about it. He said, we just could not drive on them. I mean, their ability to put bodies in front of people and not foul was just something I'd never seen before. And he told me, privately after the game, he goes, I think they're actually getting better. We played them about a month apart. I think they've really improved, and that's a sign of a really, really good veteran team. They're not resting on their laurels. Offensively, they looked really, really efficient. The starters did, at least. Mm-hmm. The bench, not so much. But, I mean, the starters are playing heavier minutes now. And I mean, they're just so cohesive and together and unselfish. And so that, it was a very, very, very impressive win. And like you said, that was the one that a lot of people thought was going to be, you kind of circled on the calendar and said, okay, this is going to be a really tough one. And they didn't lose it. They didn't even come close.
Right. And then, you wrote today also about Rick Pitino watching the game in Greece and tweeting at 1 a.m. Over there about watching the Aztecs and Malachi Flynn being the best guard that he's seen all year. And then you and I were laughing later after that story went online yesterday that Jay Billis then tweeted about the Aztecs and something to the effect that, if you haven't seen this team yet, you should really watch them. They're really good. And I jokingly sent you a text that, I think Billis is feeling left out. He wanted to be in your story, but anyway, it's just one of those things where those are people that don't normally have much to say about a team like San Diego State, and I think people are taking notice. And to me, I don't think it matters that people take notice, but I know that it's important. It's important to a lot of fans that to feel like they're being appreciated, and it's probably a good thing for the players to see and feel like, hey, look who's noticing us at this point. And one thing I wanted to mention, it seems like Dutcher at this point has basically said, forget the one game. I mean, obviously they got to play one game at a time because you can't win three games at once. But he's pretty much said at this point, let's go out and have a perfect season, right? I mean, that's kind of the, let's make this 29-0 and not screw it up at this point. Is that sort of, do you find that interesting that he would, sort of put that carrot out there, at this point?
Well, he's, the way he's done it, it's been interesting, is I remember back in my days covering the NBA, Cotton Fitzsimmons, who was one of the great NBA coaches and great quotes, he had turned around a Phoenix Suns team, and I went, and I was doing a story on them, and I went in their locker room, and he had written up on the board all these numbers, and they had broken down the NBA season into three-game increments, and they tried to win two out of every three games. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't a one game at a time, because he just felt like it was too much, right, to just play 82 one game at a time. So he said, let's do it in three-game increments here, which is roughly a week and a half, depending on the schedule, and we're going to try to win two of them, and then we'll go on the next three, and then we'll go on the next three. And Brian Dutcher hasn't done it that exactly, but he has kind of broken it into little four or five-game segments. Mm-hmm. Like he said, let's get off to a good start. And so that meant basically winning at BYU. And then it was, let's they had a stretch of like 5 games in 10 days or something, including the Las Vegas tournament. Let's try to go 5-0. And they got to 4-0 and he got in the locker room before, the Iowa game. And he said, look, we went 4-0. That's pretty darn good. We were pretty much playing with house money, but let's see if we can go 5-0. And they did. And then they only had 5 games in December. He said, let's try to go 5-0 in December. And then it was, let's start off the conference, you know, when they resume conference play, let's start that off. And then it became, let's get the banner. And then that was done. And that left him 4 games. And now it's, let's win these last 4. Mm-hmm. And then it will be, let's win the 3 of the conference tournament. And then it will be, let's win the first 2 in the NCAA tournament and go to the Sweet 16. So that's kind of how he's broken it down. It really hasn't been one game at a time, but it's not too much that they can't sort of see the horizon, but it's enough that it gets them focused more than just trying to do it one game at a time, where you're kind of apt to letdowns in one of those games.
Right. So, okay, so the last thing before we run, they have 3 games left in the regular season. UNLV comes here on Saturday evening, 4:30 game at Viejas, and then a quick turnaround, but it's no travel involved. Colorado State comes here on the following Tuesday, so that's a week from today as we tape this, and then they go to Reno for the final game. So we'll come back and do another one of these next Tuesday, or maybe even Monday after the Vegas game, going into Colorado State and Senior Night. So we'll deal with just one game at a time right now on here with Vegas. They played Vegas on January 26th, so that roughly 3 weeks ago, and that was an odd day, and obviously a tragic day in the sports world. The word, what, an hour and a half or before the game, that Kobe Bryant had died in a crash. A lot of these guys, you know, really looked up to Kobe, idolized Kobe, struck by that, and I'm sure it was a sort of a weird situation to go out and play. And that ended up being, right now, that's their second closest game in the conference, other than obviously the San Jose State weirdness, where Malachi Flynn had to make the shot at the end. But the Aztecs won that game by 4. It's one of only 3, and that was the game where the guy hit the 3-pointer at the end to cover the spread, and then the crowd was going crazy, and I'm sure everyone was like, what's going on? Right, it's Vegas, what's going on here? But anyway, it's one of only 3 single-digit wins that they've had in the conference. I think Bryce Hamilton had, 28 or 29 in that game, and the rest of the team only had about 30, maybe 35. So what should we look for from Vegas at this point coming in, and how the how Saturday will be on, you know, for the atmosphere at Viejas, which I'm sure will be crazy, and just sort of the matchup with this team and the Rebels?
Well, the one thing about this team, TJ Altenberger has done, is he's got them playing hard. He kind of had a come to Jesus moment earlier in the season. I can't remember who they played. They played somebody who was not very good and lost at home. Might have been Loyola Marymount, and he just ripped his team afterwards in press conference. And Brian Dutcher said, he goes, look, you kind of get one go at your team in public. And if they come back and they play hard the next game, you're going to be okay. If they don't, you pretty much lost them for the season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of these guys aren't guys he recruited. He recruits into a system. It's interesting, his recruits next year aren't really, like, highly regarded, but they're system guys. And he plays a system, and he loves basketball guys who are obsessed with sports. So they played really hard, and that's what kind of kept them in the game against San Diego State. They just kept coming at them and grinding at them. But, you know, they were 6-1 going into that game, and they were in second place, and they've struggled since then. Now, it's not that they're playing any worse basketball. It's just because they played a much tougher schedule in the last few weeks than they did in the first few weeks, the way this, you know, that there's really an upper and lower division in this conference, and they played almost all lower division teams right off the bat. Now they're playing upper division teams and losing some games, but they just won at the Pit, which is, you know, I know New Mexico is dysfunctional, but that anyone can go in there and win at altitude, it's tough in that environment. So that is impressive. And you said Bryce Hamilton was a really hard guard for him, because, you know, in the past, San Diego State's had bigger guards, guys like Jeremy Hemsley, and Xavier Thames, who could put a body on a bigger perimeter player. And now they don't have that, so they struggle a little bit against those type of players. Sam Merrill is tough to guard, and when you have, you know, KJ Fagan's been really, really good, but he only can guard one guy. Mm-hmm. And so who guards him? And it'll be interesting to see how they, if they change their defense to adjust to what he did, or if they just say, yeah, go get your points. We're going to shut down everybody else like they did last time. The one thing, though, that should be noted is that you know, the Aztecs, last year, their two byes were in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, of the conference season. This year, they're late. So they're having their second bye this week. They don't play a Tuesday or Wednesday game this week. And it was really evident to me in that Boise game how much fresher their legs were. And Brian Dutcher has not been practicing very much in their bye weeks. They had, you know, they went from Tuesday to Sunday before the game against Boise. Mm-hmm. Like today, they were off yesterday. They might come out today and shoot a little bit, but that's probably going to be it. They'll be off tomorrow, and they'll practice hard Thursday and Friday. And that's a dangerous thing to do with a team, but when you have a veteran team that you know can absorb your game plan quickly, you don't need a ton of practice time. You don't have to review a lot of stuff. It helps to save legs at this time of year. And so I suspect they'll be pretty fresh for these upcoming games. And as much as the other teams, you know, may tactically try stuff against them or play hard, I mean, I just think they're going to run out of gas in the second half. We've been seeing that a lot lately with this Aztec team. So I kind of expect more.
Right. And that's a good point about being fresh, because they do have a stretch. I mean, they don't play for 6 days, but then, you know, they go Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, and then the conference tournament the next week with, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, if all goes well. So potentially that's, what, 6 games in a span of like 15 days, I think. So it's probably a good, this bye is quite fortuitous and comes at a really good time, I'm sure, for them to get a little rest. And then they'll have a ton of rest between the Mountain West tournament and the NCAA tournament, but there's plenty of time to talk about that down the road. But we will end this here. We will thank everyone for listening, and we'll come back at the start of next week, talk about the Vegas game and what's coming up in the final week of the regular season. So thanks everyone for joining us.